So, like I said in announcements, we're jumping into Jonah. We have this new series, which I'm really excited about, where we're talking about the entirety of the book of Jonah. And it's interesting because many times when we think about Jonah, we think solely about that big fish, you know, like him being swallowed by that big fish, being spit up on land. And I know that that's a spoiler for some of you, but sorry, you've had ample time, right? It's been thousands of years. But the reality is the story of Jonah, because it's it oftentimes gets made very kid-friendly, right? It's talked about a lot in Awana or in kids ministry on Sunday morning and Sunday school. A lot of times, because it's made so kid-friendly, we actually lose out on a huge picture of what the book is actually trying to teach us. And sometimes we as a church, we don't go through it because we just assume, oh, well, we learned about that in kids' church. But it's important for us as a church to walk through it. One, to get a real biblical picture of what happened in the book of Jonah, but also so that we can understand what the book is about. And one of the things that is so interesting to me is it is really this picture of the mercy and redemption of the Lord and the hardness of human hearts, specifically the hardness of Jonah's heart. And so I think it's very applicable to the believers' lives today. And so this morning we're going to kick off the series by starting that off and taking a look at the different people that are in the midst of this book, or the different characters that are in the midst of this story. But before we do, let's pray, if you'd bow your heads with me. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We pray that this morning you would teach us, that you would guide us, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. Lord, we pray that you would give us wisdom and understanding, Lord, that we'd understand your word and we have the wisdom to live differently because of it. In your precious and holy name, Jesus' name, amen. So, I bet you can guess where I'm going to ask you to turn. Turn to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. And so, right away, we see at the start of this book, there's not really much preamble given. The Lord immediately shows up to Jonah, and he gives him a word, which is to go. So we see Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 1. It'll be on the screen. Feel free if it's taking you a minute to turn there. It's okay. We'll be here this morning for a little bit. So Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says this. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come before me." And so here immediately we see that Jonah is called to go and proclaim, really, judgment on the city of Nineveh. Now, the reality of God's ask is deeper than what we immediately see. Now, we know that prophets throughout God's word have been called to go and proclaim the word of the Lord to different places, people, and more often than not, they are really ready and willing. But we'll see in a second that there is some major hesitation in Jonah's life, and a lot of that stems around who he is called to go and proclaim the judgment of the Lord to, the Ninevites, or the people within the city of Nineveh. Now, I remember when I was a kid growing up watching VeggieTales, they portrayed the city of Ninevites as these people who would constantly be slapping each other with fish. And I remember growing up, I was like, that is disgusting. Like, I'm not on board with that, right? They needed the judgment of the Lord. Now, as an adult, I'm like, hey, that's just like a good youth group game. That doesn't have anything to do, right? And as I looked more and more at the Ninevites, I started to realize the reality of what the VeggieTales rendition was trying to portray to me as a kid. That the Ninevites were evil people. And when I say evil, I don't just mean people who did wrong here and there. They were, the Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrians. And what the Assyrians were known for were to be brutal raiders. What they would do is they would go to nearby cities, nearby towns. They would kill the men. They would steal the women and children. And whatever men they didn't kill, they would bring back to the Assyrian Empire, specifically to Nineveh. And in Nineveh, they would torture them, flay them, and hang them on the walls of Nineveh to proclaim to anyone that was to show up at their gates exactly what it meant to not be one of them and to oppose them. It was incredibly graphic. It was incredibly harsh. They were a people who were known as thieves, murderers, and deviants. And the people that they most often did this to was the Israelites, Jonah's own people. And so not only did Jonah recognize them as evil people, there was some real racial tension between the Israelites and the Assyrians, the Ninevites. Why? Because those people that had been stolen, those people that had been killed, those people that had been tortured and hung on their walls, they were Jonah's people. They were the Lord's people. And so when Jonah hears this, there's not only an immense fear that comes from that, there is some indignation as well. He looks and he says, there's this feeling within Jonah that says, God, do you know what they do? Not only do they do all these evil things to my people, but they do them to proclaim that they are the greatest. And if anything or anyone comes against them, that this is what will happen to them. Look at their walls. There are my people strung up. And so there's that internal fear. Lord, if I go there, I'm going to be one of those people. Their whole way of life is built around them being the best and making sure that everyone knows that no one can conquer them. And you want me to go and tell them that judgment is coming? You want me to go and say that our Lord is against them? Do you know what's going to happen to me? But also, there's a feeling of, Lord, I know what you can do. I don't want to go and proclaim. I don't want to go and warn them. Just do it. Just take them out. I don't want to give them a chance. I don't want to give them a chance to repent. Do you know what they've done? Do you know who they've hurt? Do you know how they treat us, your people? I don't want any part of that. And so in this hardness of heart, in the midst of these emotions, Jonah makes a decision. And we pick that up in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. It says this, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish, which is a really fun name. So you can say that a couple times when you get home, from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down to it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah makes a decision to get out of there. He says, no, I'm just simply not going to do it. Lord, this is too big of an ask. This is not something that I'm willing to do. I'm out of here. And what he does is he goes in the opposite direction. If you were to pull up a map from where Jonah was at the time in Israel, he was 550 miles from Nineveh. Nineveh was northeast of him. And where Jonah decided to go, which is to Tarshish, was 2,500 miles southwest, or sorry, northwest. So he was literally going the opposite direction. He was going over here, Nineveh was right here. He decided, not only will I say no to the Lord, I'm going to go as far away as I possibly can. I'm going to get on a boat, and I'm going to make my way to the far reaches so that I cannot end up somehow making my way to Nineveh. He said, no, I'm done. I'm going in the opposite direction. When I look at Jonah's heart, very often, this can be our heart towards the Lord when he asks us to do difficult things. Now, sometimes we look at the simple things, right? And we're saying, okay, Lord, I'm willing to do that, right? I'm willing to try and figure out what it means to read my Bible here and there. But when God asks us to make big life changes, when the Lord lays on our hearts some real conviction or asks us for real sacrifice, we say, hold on. I don't know that I'm good with that. And sometimes we go in the opposite direction. We leave churches and we're like, oh, we'll go find a new church that's a little bit less convicting. Sometimes we'll pick different career options because where God was pushing us was a little too scary. But the reality is, very often we refuse the call of the Lord in our lives. And we have to fight against that. And in order to fight against our refusal to follow the Lord, we have to really understand what is fueling our hearts against following God. So for Jonah, when I look at Jonah's life, and when I look at this call that was laid before Jonah, I think there were really two immense ways that I saw his heart finding itself in opposition to where God was calling him. And I want to talk about those this morning. Right? We're stretching this over a couple weeks. We're not going to immediately get to the fish this morning. I know some of you were hoping so, right? I told you this book was more than just the fish. So the first one is, the first way that I think Jonah was pulled away or was moved away from God's plan is God's plan did not fit Jonah's plan. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14. The book of Proverbs is so valuable to our lives because it gives us immense wisdom on how to take biblical principles and how to live them out in our lives. And so if you're like, man, I feel like I've been going through scripture and I've been struggling to figure out how to live it out day to day, my encouragement to you would be read the book of Proverbs. If you're trying to figure out a book to read, I have a bunch of suggestions, but if you want one for a really good application, Proverbs is a good one. It's got 31 chapters, so you can read one a day pretty easily. I'm going to be honest, I don't know how many days are in March, but I can imagine it's around 31. You can read about one a day, and you'll be through it in a month. It's a great, great book of wisdom on how to live God's plan out for your life. But in Proverbs 14, verse 12, we see what is actually happening in Jonah's life is characterized in the book of Proverbs. So Proverbs 14, verse 12 says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Let me read that again. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Jonah had his idea of how things should have gone, right? He looks at God and he goes, just wipe them off the face of the earth, right? Just show up and do to them what you did to Sodom and Gomorrah. Just rain fire down, destroy them. They're evil enough. They've done plenty evil to us. Why do I have to go and proclaim judgment? I'll do what I'm gonna do. God, if you could have chose me to be a prophet, why didn't you choose me to be a prophet to literally anyone else? I don't want to proclaim your word to them. They don't deserve your word, God. What they deserve is fire, wrath, and destruction. And so Jonah had this way that seemed right to him. And when God's way did not line up, he said, I'm going to go with my own way. And where does that take him? To death. It takes him to death. He looked and he said, I want judgment because of what they have done. And I want you to be just, Lord, but not in the way that you're talking to me about being just. What Jonah said to the Lord is, he said it by his actions, I want you to conform to me, not me conform to you. Man, this is a trap that we walk and we get stuck in so often. We look and God calls us to do difficult things, or God lays out in our world what truth is, and it doesn't sit right with us. It doesn't sit right with what culture is telling us. It doesn't even sit right sometimes with what our heart is pulling us toward. And unfortunately, I see so many people struggle with the same thing that Jonah struggles with, a desire for God to conform to them rather for them to look and say, God, I'll conform to whatever you want. There is this reality that our words don't line up with our faith many times. Because I think if I were to go through and say, do you believe that the Lord's ways are better than our ways? I think many of us in this room would say yes. And I think if I asked the question, do you believe that God loves you? Many of us in this room would say yes. And if I ask the question, do you believe that God wants what is ultimately good for you, what is ultimately best for you? I think a lot of us in this room would say yes. But when God's word runs counter to how our life is lived, we look and say, I think we know better. I don't think that will be best for me. I don't think that that will be most loving in my life. The reality is, if we look and we say, God's ways are better than my ways. God's plan is greater than my plan. God wants what is ultimately good for me. And God loves me deeply, that when his word tells me to do something, when his Holy Spirit moves me a certain way, when the Holy Spirit convicts my life, we look and what affirming that with our actions means is, God, we're in. God, I will cast aside that which I want and I will live in the way in which you called me. Counter to what's easy, counter to what the world tells me, counter to what I want. Because you have called me, and so I will do. The struggle in Jonah's life is he had a direction And God called him to a different direction, and he realized he couldn't make those two things line up, and so he chose his own path. He got on a boat, and he went in the opposite direction of the Lord. Some of you in this room have felt the conviction of God's word over the last few weeks, over the last month, over the last year, and you've been resisting time and time and time again. You've been feeling a call to do certain things, and instead of doing those things, you've been filling your schedule with other things so you just don't have time. You're living the reality of Jonah in your life. And I'm not trying to be harsh in saying that. I'm trying to point out truth. The struggle that Jonah had was God's plan did not fit his own plan. Some of you in this room are wrestling with that same reality. You know God's call for you. You feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but that plan does not fit the plan that you've laid out, and you're struggling to fight against the plan of the Lord. I'll remind you what Proverbs 14:12 says. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Turn with me in Proverbs to Proverbs 28. Here we see a picture of the second thing that I think led to Jonah opposing the Lord's plan, running away, going the opposite direction, is Jonah had a hardened heart toward the Ninevites. Jonah had a hardened heart towards the Ninevites. There was a very real opposition that Jonah had where he said with his actions, I don't want to go to those people. To those people. Now, within the book of Jonah, there is a very real racial tension. Like I said, right? There is literally an opposition of the Israelites had been very real way persecuted by the Assyrians. They were showing up, they were killing them, they were torturing them, and so there was a very real racial tension. I don't want to be sent to the Assyrians because of what they have done to me. Those are the last people that I want salvation for. Those are the last people that I want to proclaim God to because they don't deserve it. But I think beyond that for us in our lives, we have those people in our world. Maybe not in a racial way. Maybe for you it is, and you have to really work through that. But the reality is, we have our hearts jaded towards people in our world where we look and say, they don't deserve it. Where we think, do you know, Lord, what they have done to me? Do you know how they have hurt me? Do you know the scars that I bear because of them? The things they've said, the things they've done, the ways that I've been hurt. Why do I have to be the one to proclaim the Lord to them? To those people. Jonah looked and said, anyone but the Ninevites, simply because of who they are. Because his heart was hardened towards those people. Solomon in Proverbs, he warns of this reality of a hardened heart towards people. And ultimately that hardened heart becomes harder and harder and harder, and it really hardens towards the Lord, which is what we see exactly happens in the book of Jonah. Proverbs 28 verse 14 says this, blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Really an exact picture of what happens in the book of Jonah. We'll be talking about it over these next couple weeks, but Jonah does not get off scot-free going in an opposite direction of the Lord. There's calamity. There's destruction on his path. And it comes from a hardness in his heart. That hardness in his heart starts towards the Ninevites, but because of his hardness in hearts toward people, his hardness in heart towards the Lord, it continues, it spreads towards the Lord. God, I'll do what you call me as long as it doesn't have to do with these people. Some of us in this room have extreme, jaded, and hard hearts towards specific people in our lives. We're all about sharing the gospel, except to those people. Because maybe there's some fear involved. Maybe there's some hurt involved. The reality is, there's a struggle in our lives because we look and we say, anyone but them. And we have a multitude of reasons why we feel that. But the reality is, we're called to people. As believers, we are God's ambassadors, his peacemakers here on earth. The hard thing for Jonah is he wanted to pick and choose who he was an ambassador for God to. And God said, whoa, that's not how that works. Some of us in our lives, we want to pick and choose who we are an ambassador to for the Lord. Oh, I'll go talk to them. I'll go talk to my coworkers, but I'm not going to talk to my boss. Oh, I'll talk to the lady in line next to me at Meijer, but I'm not going to talk to my brother or sister. I'm not going to talk to my parents. There's too much there. I want to remind you of the gospel. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. I haven't touched Romans in a couple weeks, so figured it was a good time to jump back. Romans chapter 5 highlights God's heart for people. And the reality of how that heart plays out. Says this, Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were the Ninevites. That's a reality. Sinners, disobedient, waging war against God because we were choosing our own way. But God demonstrated his immense love for us that while we were still sinners, living in sin, disobedient to God, pursuing what Scripture calls our flesh, which is our desire to be disobedient to God, while we were pursuing that, God loved us. And he sent Christ, his Son, to die on the cross so that we could have forgiveness, so that we could be saved, so that we could spend eternity with him. This is the sacrifice of Christ. This is God's heart. And so when we're called in Romans to conform to the image of Christ, we look and say, Christ came not for just the semi-sinners, not for just the sinners that were only a little bit sinful. He died for sinful people. And where we in our hearts want to only pursue some sinners, we have to realize the call is to proclaim the gospel to all that Christ lays before us. The problem that Jonah had was that he couldn't see the heart of God. That God's plan didn't fit his plan, and that his heart was so jaded towards these people that he simply couldn't follow God. My encouragement to you this morning would to be not to follow Jonah's example. Sometimes when we read God's word, we think that it's just this constant picture of the examples that we should have. A lot of the pictures in the Old Testament are actually how we shouldn't live. And so specifically here, we see Jonah, and we see the struggle that he was having in his life. My encouragement to you is not to be like Jonah this morning. And so one of the things I want to encourage us to do this morning is to reflect. Jonah had some time to reflect. You'll see that in a couple weeks when he's spending some time in the belly of a fish. This morning we have the privilege of not being in a belly of a fish, but it being in a nice warm room together. And so let's take advantage of that privilege and reflect here. And my encouragement to you is to reflect on the heart of Christ and your heart and where the two don't line up. Are there pieces of your heart that are jaded? Are there pieces of your heart that withhold from following the Lord? And where those places are, my encouragement to you is to lay them before the Lord this morning. So we're going to take some time in communion this morning. If you want to open with me to 1 Corinthians, we reflect on this sacrifice that Christ made, right? When we talk about the gospel, this time of communion is meant for us to reflect and to examine our lives and say, what isn't congruent with the way that God calls us to live? And we see Paul warns the Corinthian church to make sure that they take this time of reflection and to reflect on their lives and make sure that they do line up. And so it says this, 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 27, it says this. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And so this morning we, here at the river, we have what's called open communion. We don't have membership here, so what we say is, if you believe that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he's risen from the dead, and you say, Lord, I want to follow you, you're welcome to come and take communion. But the warning that Paul gives here is, don't do so lightly. Instead, take time and reflect. Make sure that you aren't living a Jonah life. And reflect and say, Lord, I want my ways to be your ways. And repent of the ways that they aren't. And so, couple seconds here. I'm going to pray. Band's going to come up. We're going to play a song. Just because the band's playing a song doesn't mean you have to sing. You're welcome to sit in your seat and pray, reflect, take that time and think. But at some point during the song, if you want to take communion, come up, take of the bread and the cup, come back to your seat, hold those elements, and we'll take them together. But take this time. Make sure you reflect on the Lord and his sacrifice and what that means for your life. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Lord, we enter into this time of communion And we pray that you would help us to reflect. Lord, I pray that you would take away all distractions that we might have during this time. Lord, we know our enemy, the flesh, Satan, will try to get us to become distracted so that we don't see the ways in which you're calling us to live differently. But Lord, I pray that this time your Holy Spirit would just impress upon each one of our lives the way in which we are called to live differently. Lord, I pray that we would live not like Jonah. Lord, that we wouldn't be jaded towards the people in our life who need the gospel. Lord, that we wouldn't look at your plan and say no, but instead that we would conform to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, in our lives. Lord, I pray that this morning, this time in communion, would help us to take that first step towards what it means to follow you wholly. Lord, we love you. Your precious and holy name, Jesus' name, amen.
Church, won't you please stand and join us for our last song?